Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Aaron West joins us. He's the CEO of the Nevada Builders Alliance, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Aaron West. He is the CEO of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about supply chain issues because, you know, I've talked to a lot of people in the home building business over the last few months. And they're telling me that as they talk to the major contractors, the contractors are all repricing their projects because the cost of everything has gone up so dramatically. Right. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think we've definitely been seeing this for a few months now. You know, nobody could have anticipated that when construction was deemed an essential business and allowed to keep going, that all of our necessary materials, all the manufacturing of that was actually shut down, right? And so just the backlog that we've had from the construction side has been tremendous. Anyone who's tried to buy a refrigerator or a freezer, you know, has experienced it as well. But it's, there's so much volatility in the market right now that we literally have, you know, builders that are, they're taking reservations for people, but they won't lock into a price until they're much further into the project so that they have confirmation on what they can get.
You know, an interesting discussion we've been having off the air, but let's bring it on the air, is, you know, and I'll use the example of the toilet paper situation from a year and a half ago. A lot of people were questioning, well, how come we're running out of toilet paper when there's, you know, nobody's at the offices anymore, so couldn't they just shift the manufacturing of that toilet paper from industrial to residential? Right. And the answer is no, because once things go back to normal, you can't suddenly retool your entire line, and those right. kinds of products are different. It's got to be the same way in the construction industry, that there's a concern to ramp up production when a year and a half, 2 years from now, things are going to return to somewhat normal situation.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think they would probably ramp up if they had the opportunity. But where we're at right now in terms of the labor market and access to materials and so forth, I think for the most part, I truly believe that manufacturers are going about as fast as they can, and it's still, you know, not even close to meeting the demand that's out there. So there could be a little pullback at some point, but you know, the bigger issue for us really is that, you know, we just became a nation of expecting everything to be manufactured somewhere else, right? It can be done cheaper somewhere else, and so, you know, we'll do that and then expect that we can get it in when we need it. And I hope this was a wake-up call that we really need to think about manufacturing and what it is that we're doing within our boundaries, you know, so that we have a sustainable economy.
Well, the other thing is, and this was based on a model that Toyota came up with years ago, which is to not manufacture things in advance, but to wait for the order to come in before you actually do the manufacturing. Right. And then when you get a tremendous rush for the product, you're stuck.
Yeah. Well, and market dynamics too within housing have indicated, you know, are very different in the last 15 years. You know, it used to be that builders would just throw up as many houses as they could, as fast as they could, and it was, there was a lot of spec inventory that was sitting out there. Now, just because of the demands on the market, everything is as you go. So literally, they don't even start. You know, they'll release five lots, you know, secure those buyers, and then go out and start construction on them. But with all the uncertainty right now, it could be 6 months or it could be a year.
Well, and part of that is based, and you've got to be realistic with this, you know, 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. those builders took it really hard.
Yeah.
And a lot of them either went into bankruptcy or on the verge of bankruptcy, and they're looking at things now. You know, and there's some major builders in the Reno area yeah. that, you know, for a long time, even though the demand was huge, were still going, well, we're not quite sure.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, you can't blame the builders for reticence in that kind of situation.
No, and I still talk to subcontractors who went through that, right? And they had, at one time, they had 100 people, and they went through the downturn, and now they're back to about 20, 25, and they're saying they're comfortable with that. So we need a lot more contractors, which it's very difficult to get in the state of Nevada to get your contractor's license. So we either need a lot more of them, or you know, we need to just adjust our expectations to what we can really produce.
All right. So you bring up an interesting topic there. Is the problem with getting contractors licensed that we are overregulated in the state of Nevada, or you know, is it just getting those bodies into the state to actually do the paperwork?
I love how you put people on you know, on point there. I will just say that Nevada has a very strong regulatory structure. Some would say that it's even you know, more stringent than our neighbors to the west.
Wow.
Which surprises a lot of folks, but it is not. Let's just say the Contractors Board exists. You know, they will tell you their mission is not to protect contractors. They're there to protect the consumer, and they are very aggressive in that effort.
Okay, well, and that's fair enough. I mean, you know, you've got six of one and a half a dozen the other ones there, but that explains part of the problem. Across the nation, I mean, do we have a shortage of people in the construction industry? Because what we saw during the recession, the Great Recession, was that people went where the work was.
Right.
And there was a large contingent of Hispanic workforce in Northern Nevada, for example, that literally left Northern Nevada. Right. They weren't sitting around waiting till the business came back. They went to where the work is.
Yep. You
know, are we still waiting for people to come back to Nevada?
Yeah, especially within the industry. And I think nationally, it applies locally, statewide, and on a national level. We are still very short in terms of the total number of construction workers needed. You know, a lot of our effort goes into workforce development and trying to talk to young people and explain, you know, the great options that exist out there. To your point, when the downturn hit, a lot of people think that, you know, folks that were in construction, that, you know, they all lost their jobs. If you had a skill, if you were an electrician or a plumber, you may not have had an opportunity here, but there was definitely an opportunity, right? When things slowed down here, we saw a lot of folks go to Texas, a lot of folks go up into the upper Midwest, and so there were still opportunities. The trick, like you say, has been to try and bring those folks back.
And we're looking at incredible developments that are coming up. We just had an interview with Russ Fouts from Mark IV that's doing a big project out in Fernley. Mm-hmm. That is one of several projects in the Fernley area, Fallon area,
right.
Yerington area. And that's just Northern Nevada. There's lots of new projects being announced, condominium buildings mm-hmm. and more going in Southern Nevada.
Right.
You know, the question is, just based on the money that's available right now, that's coming in from private investors, we don't have the ability to get some of this work done, or it's taken a long time. Now we've got the infrastructure bill. Right. Hello,
yeah.
Nevada's getting $4 billion.
Right.
How are we, you know, is it just going to have to be a 10-year timeline rather than, you know, something that's going to affect us over the next few years?
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because a lot of the, you know, a lot of the dollars that were allocated only have a 5-year horizon to get those spent. And so, you know, when you're looking at an industry that's already strapped, you know, from a workforce standpoint, you know, some of the projections I've seen are that, you know, the idea behind this infrastructure bill is that it would create 900,000 jobs. I mean, when we're already talking about a 1 million-person deficit, that gets a little scary. I mean, obviously, it's awesome. You're going to see a bunch of money come into the state, but you're seeing a bunch of money go into all the states. And so our ability to pull resources as needed from other areas is going to be really thin.
Well, the other part of that is, you know, if you are able to bring in the workers, where do you house them?
Yeah, that's an ongoing problem.
Well, and it's interesting, a CAI that's developing the old Harrah's Reno property into a mixed-use development, they're using half the hotel rooms as workforce housing while the project's under construction, which is brilliant.
It is.
I don't know what they're going to do when they build the other hotel that they're going to build on Court Street, because that's going from the ground up.
Right.
But, I mean, people are having to be very creative with this.
They are. It's interesting you say that, because the hospitality side of it, if you have rooms available, a lot of them are allocating a certain percentage of that just for workforce, because it's not just a construction issue, right? We literally have labor issues in almost every industry sector.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you bring up an interesting sidebar there, because when UNR had a couple of boilers explode a couple of years ago, they took over a tower at Circus Circus in Reno to house the students.
Right.
Is this something, you know, both in Las Vegas and Reno, because the conventions are slow to come back, obviously, is that an opportunity that if you need Monday through Friday workforce housing, that that perhaps properties might open their doors and let people in, you know, that might not normally be their customers?
Yeah, I think the conversations are definitely taking place.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I know that I've specifically heard conversations in South Lake Tahoe, for example, where they're really pinched for, you know, for housing, and as they're starting to, you know, hopefully hit their peak season, the demand for labor and the fact that they just don't have any place to put them, especially after the fires up there, right, just destroyed so much. So they're actively pursuing that model, and it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, and they've got a big project there with their new convention center that's going to really help with the conventions, but they got to get it built.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, interesting times. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with Aaron West after this timeout.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years.
Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Aaron West. He is the CEO of the Nevada Builders Alliance. All right, so $4 billion coming into the state. Right. How would you, in your discussions with your board, like to see that money spent across the state? Because you're statewide.
Yeah, yeah. So we are very fortunate to represent over 1,000 contractors statewide. And, I think it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how much flexibility is actually provided, you know, because there were very specific buckets, right? You know, out of the $4 billion, $2.5 billion is in highways alone. So, you know, how NDOT prioritizes that, right? And the fact that so many of these tranches of revenue, like we were saying, have to be spent in 5 years. So you've really got to be aggressive. You know, there's $225 million for bridge replacement, $459 million for transit. Water, broadband, airports. So they're very specific buckets, and how, you know, the governing entities for those choose to, you know, prioritize and really, you know, try to get that money spent is going to be, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there. I didn't ask you to put the number together before, but do you know what it costs to build a mile of highway these days?
Oh man, you know, we used to ballpark $1 million.
$1 million. Because I mean, really, you know, when you come down to it, covering all those different areas you just mentioned, mm-hmm. $4 billion really, it's a lot of money, but it doesn't end up being a lot of money,
no,
does it?
No, especially when it gets split up the way it did, you know, with airports, you know, almost $300 million going to airports, right? So you've got water issues, wildfire prevention. So there's a lot out there. It'll be interesting to see. Like we were saying, it is, the time frame associated with getting the dollar spent is definitely going to create some issues from a labor standpoint, but also, the devil's going to be in the details and really how they prioritize and what projects they have ready to pull the trigger on.
Okay, and is it shovel-ready projects that we're looking at? I mean, is that the buzzword again?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? We all remember the original stimulus days with shovel-ready, and unfortunately, that type of accelerated approach maybe didn't lead to the most efficient use of the dollars, right? It was the fastest use of the dollars. And so I think, really you have to have something, I don't know that you really have time to go through the design, bid, build process with some of the timeframes that have been provided. So I think you could see a lot of hybrid, we could see construction manager risk, you know, really being a very valuable tool, like they're doing with the Washoe County School District, where you pick, you know, basically you pick your construction team, they pull together everybody else, and you're literally building while you're designing. And I think if they take that approach using CMAR, hopefully we can really get some impactful projects.
Okay, and design build is actually a cost-effective way to go, is it not?
Oh, yeah. No, I think especially right now with resources being so thin, the idea that you're pooling those resources all at once and really going through a collaborative process to affect these construction projects, it's very effective.
And it's all going to be state agencies, all under the aegis of the governor and the legislature. How does it play out?
That's how I'm kind of seeing it play out. Yeah, I think in every case there's a municipality or a, you know, quasi municipal entity that will be, you know, the you know, kind of the conduit for these funds.
Okay, so therefore, will prevailing wage apply to all of this?
All of it.
So therefore, even though you're getting $4 billion, it's going to be more expensive than if you were doing it through private enterprise.
Yeah, which I will say, we're in interesting times, right? And so everything is more expensive right now, and the ability for the prevailing wage dollars to maybe pull some of that labor from places that it might be less utilized right now.
Okay, so if you've got a housing project, for example, and you're using non-union labor on that project, you're paying them, you know, quite a bit less than you would be if you were having to pay prevailing wage.
Right.
So those construction workers are gonna look at which way do I go here,
right?
And you may see union membership jump up quite a bit.
I think that was very intentional in the bill.
Okay, all right, well, and a good point. All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back, more after this. I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. Entertainment here at the Carson Valley Inn is extraordinary.
Yeah, super proud of the TJ's Corral, our outdoor venue, about 1,500 seats. We've had first-class entertainment out there. We've had Merle Haggard, we've had Chris Young, we've had Lee Bryce a couple times, we've had Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, who's in the Hall of Fame. We're real proud out there, and it's just a great time. Watch CarsonValleyInn.com and grab those tickets early. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Aaron West. He is the CEO of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Opportunity zones. So this was areas across the state, across the country, but across the state that were decided upon where people could come in and make an investment and get a great return. How is this going to be affected by this money coming in, or will it be affected?
I really think it's kind of two separate things. The opportunity zones really haven't taken off the way I think that everybody kind of hoped.
Why?
I honestly think it's just the nuances of what it really means to put these together. You know, originally it was kind of viewed as an individual could go in and drop some money in, and spur, some economic revitalization. But it's all predicated on an exit strategy, right? The real benefit there is you're putting the money in without a tax consequence, and you're taking it out in 10 years without a tax consequence. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about trying to use Opportunity Zone funds for affordable housing. Well, the requirement typically, if you're doing affordable housing on the tax credits, you have to hold on to it for 30 years. So that really makes it difficult on that 10-year exit strategy, right? So I think there's, for all the pomp and circumstance, I really haven't seen a practical application yet, at least in our area, you know, a significant investment that was very, you know, that was tied to Opportunity Zones.
Have we seen any in Las Vegas?
You know, not that I can really put my finger on and go, yep, look at that major project that got off the ground because of, you know, the Opportunity Zone fund that you know, stepped in to make it happen. I think there's a lot of talk, and there's a lot of kind of behind the scenes stuff on the financial side of it in terms of trying to put together these funds. And then it's a matter of how you deploy that capital and really put together that strategy. It's a lot more complicated than people, I think, were originally led to believe.
Obviously, there's a huge need in northern and southern Nevada and in portions of rural Nevada for affordable housing.
Right.
But where do you see that going with the current climate?
Yeah, it's. I just spoke on this yesterday. It's so difficult right now with all the demands within our industry. You know, how do you pull those resources, you know, from market rate to, you know, to the affordable side? And again, it's complicated. You know, not everybody can just go out and throw up an affordable housing project. The nuances of putting together, you know, all the tax credits and everything in order to really make it viable. There's really only a couple developers in southern Nevada and maybe one in the north that are really, you know, proficient at it. So it'll be interesting to see. There's a group called the Nevada Housing Coalition that put together a set of recommendations for the state to try and utilize about $500 million worth of ARPA funds.
What's ARPA?
ARPA was the kind of the first round of stimulus money that came out of the federal government, a few months back. And so the idea of trying to designate a very specific, you know, kind of a large chunk of dollars to, and I applaud their priorities are really based on getting, you know, more inventory. It's not just vouchers and, you know, and credits and stuff like that. It's, we need to take that money and literally build, you know, more units.
Just last quick question here. You know, we've got a lot of people still sitting at home trying to decide what their next career is going to be. So your greatest challenge is to let people know that construction isn't what construction was 20 years ago.
Right. For sure. You know, it shocks people when I show them the stats that we have within the state right now. The average wage within our construction industry in the state of Nevada is $76,000. You know, that's a damn good wage for a lot of people. And that's honestly, a lot of folks will tell you that's on the low end. Once you get that skill set, you know, you're talking six figures. And so, I think if you look at just, obviously, construction's been slow to innovate, but it's really coming along now. There's some great companies out there that are really making a difference. There's, in fact, here in Reno, a group called NVO Construction, which is now doing literally panelized floor systems, wall systems, and trusses. And so instead of, you know, dropping a stack of 2x4s out on a job site and, you know, a group of five guys taking a month to build a house, it can literally be delivered on a truck and you have a house within 3 days.
I think I may have to investigate more on that. Thank you so much for being here, as always, and good luck with all this money coming in, and hopefully we're able to spend it within that 5 years.
There you go.
We'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.